coming to you from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by way of Stone Mountain, Georgia, birthed by the great state of South Carolina, is the Bryant Land Country Podcast, your place for any and everything in hunting, fishing, sports, and outdoor related, with heavy doses of randomness, guests, and an all-around good time. Here's your host, proud Gamecock, South Carolina forever, AB3.
All right, now, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Bryant Land Country Podcast. I am your host, AB3. It is the day after the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson, and it's hard. It's hard. You don't ever want to see your rival win. You definitely don't ever want to see your rival win a national championship in any sport, especially football, but it's happened. They've done it. Clemson Tigers are the college football national champions, beating the Alabama Crimson Tide last night. Whooped them up pretty good. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what happened. That's what it is, and it's a hard day for me because you don't ever want to see your rival doing well. You don't ever want to see your rival winning championships, especially when your team is sitting at home not winning anything. You don't want to see your rival doing well, but it is what it is. They won the game. They got there. They took care of their business. They certainly beat us when they played us, you know, at the end of the year, battle for Palmetto State. But, you know, we got some work to do. Our program, our coaches, I'm pretty sure they know they got some work to do to catch up with old Yabba Dabba Dabo and the Clemson Tigers. But the tie-in to that, to make matters worse, my guest today is a diehard Clemson Tiger, a fellow by the name of Ken Brown. And what's so funny about Ken is I met Ken through a mutual friend of ours, Brian Maddox, former South Carolina running back, played running back at Carolina. I had a chance to go down and interview, I think it was summer before last, I had a chance to go down there and interview him, talk to him a little bit about his hunting and football. And then Ken saw that, and of course, like any other Clemson fan, it's just like he automatically jumped on the bandwagon. And then I talked to Ken a few times, and we had some great conversations. Ken is just an absolute fantastic fella. We have some great, funny conversations. So when I started putting this podcast together, he was one of the first people that I reached out to, one of the first people that I wanted to have on the talk, because the guy is a serious diehard bow hunter, and he is funny as all get out to me, but he is equally as funny. We had a great conversation. Hopefully one of these days we're going to get together and actually meet and just hang out and talk about hunting and football and all those great things. But as with any Clemson-related person, you kind of got to just take it as it comes. So anyway, I'm just kidding. This was a great interview. We had some technical difficulties. Transparent here on this podcast. You know, we're still trying to figure this out, still trying to get it together. So we had some technical difficulties with the recording. There might be a couple of spots where it drops out or whatnot, but the gist of the conversation with Ken Brown is a great one. It is a hilarious one. You guys are going to enjoy it. So won't y'all go ahead, kick back, and listen to my conversation with Ken Brown. Ken, thanks for coming in. So let's start off. I'm not going to say, you know, the C word. Congratulations. I'm a diehard South Carolina guy, okay? So I'm not going to be out here like some of these other people. Oh, you got to root for Alabama, because they're in the SEC, or you got to root for Clemson because they're from the state of South Carolina. No. If it was up to me, it would be like in the 80s and both of them were tied, and then y'all could split it and do what y'all want. But that's not what happened. Y'all took them boys to the woodshed last night. When I talked to you before, you were a little, I thought you were crazy, but looking at it, you were a little modest. I think you said 28-21 or something like that. They took them boys to the woodshed last night.
Yeah, they did. They took it to him, man. They made him tap. They made Saban tap. And he took out and put Hurts in. And he's like, you know what? When he was running those fakes and stuff and the play at the goal line, we just ran to him, didn't even try to throw the ball in the end zone. And I was like, man, you know what? The game was over, but the game plan, Venables is a genius. Because Tua didn't know what was coming. And, you know, Venables just, I'll put him up against any quarterback, any offensive coordinator. And I made a bet with some guys years ago after we lost the first natty. Right after the game, I bet five guys. I said, I bet y'all guys right now, thousands apiece, we win the natty the following year. And they all took the bet. I said, on top of that, you got to call me Mr. Natty for a year. And they took the bet. Oh. And they all paid. Yeah, and every time they talk to me, so 6 months ago, I told them, I said, look, boys, we may not get it this year. I said, if we do, it's a bonus year, only because Trevor won't be quarterback full-time. I said, but his sophomore year, we win two in a row because we're having a sophomore and junior year. Now, we done snuck in and got this one because he took up after the fourth game, and I don't see nobody beat this next year or the year after with him playing quarterback. And with the offensive line we got coming and the receivers we got coming, long as Venables is there, long as the offensive coordinators are there, Elliott and them, those guys are smart, and with those game plans, I'm going to be getting called Miss Natty for a long time. Look at it like 21-point non-typical buck. That's how good I'm feeling right now.
Oh, my God.
Called me with a grunt call and stuck it. So that's about what that feels like, winning that Natty. And if you're not a Clemson fan today, you probably feel like, I just shot a spike and wasted my butt tag on a spike. That's what y'all feel like today.
Oh, my God. Okay, Mr. Natty.
That's right, baby.
Mr. Natty. Oh, my God. Well, I can tell you right now, that ain't going to happen, sir. But enjoy it. You know, you guys, y'all did what y'all had to do. Y'all did what y'all supposed to do, you know. So, whatever. Good on that. Anyway, let's talk about something else. Well, you know what? Let me wrap this whole Clemson thing up. Because what people don't know, like I said, we've had conversations before. And I know that one of the things that I think is hilarious to me is you name your deer after Clemson, quote-unquote, greats. Which I thought is the most hilarious thing to me. Explain that to the people.
Well, the reason why I do it, because, I mean, everybody, I'm a diehard Clemson football fan. I was recruited out of high school by Clemson, by Danny Ford. Committed my junior year, got hurt my senior year. Football career was done, hurt my back. I was done. You know, got back in shape, got some basketball offers. I was like, nah, I'm just a strictly football guy. Didn't take any of it. And ever since I've been hunting, I see a dominant buck. I wouldn't name it after a Clemson coach or a player. And I named this big buck Dabo that I was chasing because he was the biggest, baddest buck in the woods. I watched him beat up big bucks, and I said, I'm going to get him. And I named him Dabo. If you look at the game last night, Dabo beat that big old buck up last night, you know, right in the middle of the rut. So, and that's why I named after my deer. I done got Jeff Davis. I done got Perry Tuttle. Somebody else got Dabo. I got Spiller. I've got Danny Ford, and I've got Frank Howard. So,
wow.
I got Mr. V on camera this year, and I got Colin D. Ford, Deshaun Watson. I got him on camera. And my next big one I get, the next two big ones I get, you can bank on it. One's going to be called T.L. for Trevor Lawrence, and one's going to be called Ross and Higgins. Those are going to be my next three books.
Oh, my God.
Showed the picture, and they cracked up laughing, and they just got a kick out of it, and they all love it. It's funny, but I love it. I think it's unique. You know, everybody likes it, but everybody names
it
buck.
It is. It's very unique, and it's funny. Like I said, the funny thing to me is, you know, like I know you grew up with Brian Maddox that played football at South Carolina, and I had the pleasure of meeting him and talking to him, and then that's how I ended up linking with you. But it's funny because he's from up that way, and he got away and went to the real school. But, you know, Danny Ford was definitely a legend in his own right. Now, one of the deer that you named is Dabo. And I remember you were telling me you named Dabo because he was like the biggest. He was the bull of the wood. He was the big one. But Dabo went down to a gun hunter as opposed to you with your bow, right?
Yeah, that hurt. He, I got in one day. I saw him at the bottom. It's just a thicket with his doe bed. He runs. He's chasing the doe. And that was the first time he had show. And I said, all right, I got my chair. I'm going to have to hunt hard. Then I get sick. Got a little flu, so I can't hunt. And I'm missing the rut. And I'm like, okay. I'm going to get back in there. So I get back in there, see all these different bucks I'm getting. That's when Mr. V showed up. I was like, man, that's Venables. First time I got him on camera. And all these bucks are showing up left and right. I knew something. I said, something ain't right. Because for 2 years, it was no other bucks around. He ran the show. He run everything off. That told me, okay, I got all these bucks showing up, some nice bucks. Something ain't right. And I ain't got him on camera. I hadn't seen him. And this guy posted a picture, and he shot him at 220 yards with a 7-mag, and I almost started crying because I worked my ass off. I had him patterned so good. I had him at our first encounter. I got him at 50 yards. I'm full draw. I need him to take a step, and I'm going to put it right in his heart. And I mean, it's going to go right in the baller room. I'm in a ground blind because it's so thick. There's no big trees in there.
Right.
It's a doe to my right, and it's three does out there. He's pushing, and he's looking back in my direction, and he turns and walks the other way. I don't get to let that arrow go, and it breaks my heart. And I said, well, maybe I'll get another chance. And I didn't see him again until after the season he come back in. And that son of a gun was smart. But that loop he was making, I had him patterned so good. I said, when he comes in, I'm going to be waiting. He was coming in between 4:30 and 5. He first showed his daylight pictures on October 18th. Mm-hmm. Every year at the same time for two straight years. And that was the key, because he would come in and check those the night before at 1 in the morning. And then that morning he would come back and push those between 10:30 and 11 o'clock on the 18th. And then again, he did it again. So this year I was like, he's mine. I know when he's coming,
right?
And I'm going to get him. And then that day I sit there and all these other bucks is, and they was just deer running everywhere. And I knew right then something wrong. That hurt me because, you know, that guy, you know, I don't knock gun hunters, but he probably was just sitting there. I mean, I saw the picture. He's got on a pair of blue jeans and a hat, the old raggedy thing, like he'd been smoking cigarettes. I'm like, hell, he's probably sitting in a box right when he didn't even give a shit, you know. Ain't putting no work in. But when you put your heart and your soul into a deer like that,
yeah,
that you beat and you get that close and you ready to shoot, and I had him, and I had him dead to rights.
Right.
And I still got that video on my Instagram, and I just need him to take a step. I lean, going to try to get that arrow in there, and I just couldn't. He leaves, and I'm thinking, you know, did he pick me off? And that doe to my side, she was so close, she was kind of hitting the brush and pushing my blind a little bit. So I walked down, and I looked back in the blind, and you couldn't see my camera. You couldn't see nothing. So I don't know what made him leave, but, you know, the next day he came back through on camera, but I wasn't hunting. And then he came back through again the next day, and I wasn't hunting. But I didn't get to see him again until, you know, when I got back in there. But this year, yeah, he's done. But I get a buck on camera that's identical to his rack, because Dabo's got split brows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he blew up. And after this guy had him stored, he scored 159, and I think 159 and 3/8 or something like that.
Good grief.
And yeah, and it's another buck in there. He's about 2 years old. His rack's shaped identical.
Mm-hmm.
And to see where his brow was like it was going to split. And I said, that's his osprey. So I got to keep him around. And I've been putting out some salt, some mineral sites, and they're tearing it up, man. They're killing it.
What are you going to call that one?
That may be TL. You know, that may be TL, Dabo number two. So, because, you know, TL a bad man, you know.
You should call him, God, what's my man name? Not Tommy Bowden. What's my man before Tommy?
Definitely not Tommy. Well, definitely not Hatfield.
Yes. Yeah.
You would get that. That just, and, hey, if yeah. I see a spike walking around outside of Hatfield, I did name one Muschamp though. My buddy's like, man, let me come in and hunt Dabo for you. And I said, here, you can hunt this. He said, who's that? I said, that's Muschamp.
Oh,
he had a busted up rack. He was a spike and it was all busted up.
Here you go.
You know, because he takes a beating all the time, bless his heart. You know, he's got asthma. Bless his asthmatic heart.
Yeah, well, bless my asthmatic heart.
Yep. We're going to beat y'all for a long time, bro.
Yeah, well, you know.
I tell you what. Me and you making a bet right now. If y'all beat us this year, you can come and hunt the biggest buck I got on my property. If we win, I get to come hunt on your property, your biggest buck.
See, no, okay. We talked about this before. The problem with that is, like I told you before, I am a fond, very strong believer in don't ask anybody to do anything that you wouldn't want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I don't go around asking people to hunt on their property. Because I know that my little secluded area down there in Georgia, I'm developing that for me and the kids. Now, when I get... If I get blessed enough to get another little 30 or 40 acres, you know, I'll let the rest of you jabronis come down there and tear that up or whatever. Whatever y'all can find out there, y'all can get. My little paradise? Nah, bro. You're going to have to come up with something else. I don't know. Maybe we'll take a picture.
I'm going to come in there and stick him, dude, and then get you to help me drag him out.
Come up with something else. You know, that Pickens County education, let them boys make them crazy bets like that. Us PD guys, we know better. So
I tell you what, though, it's nothing like slinging carbon, man. You know, I don't stop. I'm year-round. I'm always in the woods. I'm going to hit the woods Thursday and to work on another mineral site. And I was getting pictures this morning, last night on this new spot I got.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely just hammering this mineral site. They're killing it. I mean, it's unbelievable how quick. I've done it one day. The next day, there's another next afternoon. An hour's time's difference.
Right.
They've come back every day and every night. They're hitting it three times a day, basically. All the does are hitting it. I've had four different bucks come in and hit it, and it's like clockwork.
Now, the season's over in upstate South Carolina, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so like all the minerals and stuff you're putting out is helping those does and stuff that are already being bred. So you like you said, mm-hmm. it keeps going. Like, you know, a lot of people, they wanted to show up in August down there or in September in Georgia or whatever and get in the tree and start flinging and stuff. But like you said, man, you got to keep this thing going. You know, once the season ends, you got to get out there. You got to feed your animals. You got to, you know, give them the nutrients, especially if they can't get them naturally. You know, you want to get out there and try to help them out. You just can't go out there and just sling, like you say, slinging arrows or slinging bullets and take them all out. A lot of people don't understand that, don't realize that.
And you see a lot of guys on these hunting sites, man, I ain't killed a deer in 2 years. I ain't saw a deer in a month. And to me, that's telling me by them saying that, that means hunting season starts, they go in the woods, don't see nothing, they go home. 2 weeks later, go back. And then the off season, they have no idea what's on the property. They haven't done the inventory. They don't run cameras.
Right.
And they don't do anything to keep doing the property. Because if you're not keeping doing your property, somebody else down the road 2 miles away or got food plots, mineral sites, that's where all your deer are going.
Yep.
And that's what they don't understand. So you have to do your work doing, and to me, is like you say, to me, if somebody calls me and wanting to go hunting, and I always say, if you want to hunt with me, you're going to help me do grunt work. You're going to help me do mineral site. Help me cut you. Help me get the thing ready, and then we can hunt together.
Right.
Don't call me when the season starts and I ain't seen you all summer. Hey, can I go get one of your stands? Hell no! I mean, I've done that one mineral site, and I've done my work over there, and I guarantee you, I'll spend my four spots, I'll spend $1,000 this year getting it ready for the season.
Right.
Then you got to figure, all right, you're going to spend another $1,000 on deer processing. Yeah. So you're only $2,000 a year hunting, and you want somebody to come in. Put it this way. I helped one of my buddies. Man, he got a spot. He got a lake, 50 acres. Got it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Kenny called me. He said, hey, man, he said, dog, you, he said, man, you go hunt this spot. He's just some big bucks. And he had this buck called Diesel. And I mean, he was a stud. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, we go and hang stands. We put a watering hole, food plot, and everything. And he's got vertigo, and he will only hunt, you know, one, two times a week. Well, I was chasing Dabo at the time. And I said, look, dude, I'm getting Dabo, and I'll come in there and hunt some.
Right.
So me and him hunted one day, and I saw some nice bucks and let him walk. Well, this year, we went back down there and got it ready and stuff. And he called. He said, you going to go hunt this afternoon? I said, well, now everybody know I got a new baby now. And I was like, yeah, I can't hunt this afternoon because I got to get the baby.
Right.
He said, I'm going to go hunt. And I told him plain, I said, Kenny, if you're going to hunt, hunt the hardwoods. Do not hunt that food plot. No. I said, the acorns are falling.
Right.
They'll walk through that food plot to get them acorns. I said, they'll walk past corn and everything.
Yep.
All right, I will. I get a picture like 7:30, and it's Diesel. Mm-hmm. And I text him back, man, congrats. He texts him back crying face. It wasn't me. I said, neighbor? No, this guy called wanted to go hunt, and I took him. He ain't never been before with me, and I took him. So you let the guy shoot the deer that me and you done all the work for.
I was about
to say.
Boy,
I got so mad.
With a gun or with a bow?
He got him with a bow at 20 yards. He spined him at 20 yards. Then he shot, then he got down and shot him again.
Follow him up.
He came in there eating acorns, and I told him because I knew which way he was going to come.
Right.
And the way that property is set up, it's an old house, and he comes behind this lady's old barn, and he beds behind this lady's house within 30 yards in this ditch. And I told him, I said, that deer is back there, and he's going to come. And he put that boy in that standing, and that boy went in that standing aisle and shot him. Kenny said, and he quit hunting. He said, I'm done. He broke my heart. I said, well, it should break your heart. All that hot sweat we did, you didn't even know that guy a month. And he wanted to go hunting. You took him, and you took him to the one spot that you knew what was in there.
Man.
Yeah, you should have took him down there some land and you ain't never threw him over. Yeah, go get in that tree.
Yeah.
You know, let him do his own work, you know.
Right, right.
But
yeah, that's
I
crazy.
Him again.
Wow. I mean, I understand, you know, being nice and neighborly and, you know, the hunting community, bringing all us together and all that stuff. But golly, man, come on. As a person who has put in mineral sites, has put in food plots, has gone to bush hog food plots, bush hog trails, cut down limbs, put in a watering hole, you know, with the pole hole digger and shovel and all that stuff, man. That's a lot of work before you get to pull that arrow back. And to let somebody that you just met go, okay, hey, God love him, but.
Yeah, exactly. So he said he's going to start turkey hunting and duck hunting. I said, well, don't call me because I'll never hunt with you again. And I won't. I'll never hunt with him again. I will never take him into my spot. You know he's going to take that thing, take with him, you know.
Right. Well, that's another thing. Crazy, like, man. Did he tell you, like, did he say, hey, you know, I'm going to take a buddy with me or whatever?
Nope.
He just
sure didn't.
Come on, man.
He said, oh, I'm going to head on in. And that's the last thing he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he sent me that picture, I was so happy. Then he shot me a text like 2 in the morning. Man, I just can't get over this. I ain't even texting back. I was like, man, shut up. You took the guy.
Right.
You know, he getting to reap the reward, you know.
Man.
Like, I did tell him, I said, Kenny, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
you won the lottery, you gave me the chicken, I wouldn't cash it in, didn't give you no money. I said, that's what you just done.
Yeah,
said,
that's pretty good analogy. Yeah.
Same damn thing.
Yep.
You know?
Now, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, because you posted a few months back on your Instagram, Stick and Drag Bow Hunting, at Stick and Drag Bow Hunt. Well, wait a minute. Let me make sure I get this right. It's at Stick underscore, right? And underscore yeah, drag mm-hmm. bow hunting. Okay.
Yeah,
so mm-hmm. make, so y'all can go and take a look at it. He's got a pretty good, really good, pretty cool Instagram. And then you had a video where you shot this deer. And I know we've talked before about self-filming, and there's a lot of guys that self-film. There are a lot of guys that self-film pretty good. There are a lot of guys like myself that can't self-film worth a damn. I can direct the hell out of a sporting broadcast, but when it comes to self-filming, I'm still trying to get it licked. How did you get into that? And then, like, what do you run, like, as far as cameras and stuff like that?
Well, the way I got into it, you know, just going out hunting and stuff, and I wanted to start getting footage. You know, I watched a lot of hunting shows, and I was like, no, I'm going to start getting me some footage. And I like to go in, even when I'm going into watering holes and stuff, I like to, you know, film and stuff. And I run, I got this little Canon HD camera, which is awesome. And
yep.
It's only $300. You can zoom in forever. And I got three GoPros. I got the 7 and the 2.5s, and I run those. And then it's got this cool app. You can chop everything up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole different ball game when it comes to filming. That self-filming is, that's an animal a lot of people don't want to tackle.
Yep.
But I wanted to challenge myself because I said, you know, I took a lot of did I wish that I had on camera, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I saw it, I'm going to try it. I remember the first time I did it, I'm in this tree, two bucks out in the field fighting. I had just literally peed off a tree, and this buck come walking up and he's grunting and pawing. I thought, damn, that's a deer.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached up and turned the GoPro on, and I hit the Wi-Fi button. Didn't think nothing about it. On the first GoPro, you know, that Wi-Fi will come on, but it ain't going to be recording. And so I'm thinking I got the footage. I don't have anything. I'm thinking, damn, what happened? What'd I do? And then I realized I hit the Wi-Fi button.
Right.
But I didn't get no footage, and I thought, dang it. So I said, I'm gonna fix this problem. And that's when I started tinkering with it, learning how to do it, and learning how to do everything, and then I got obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Because when that buck comes in or when that doe comes in, you know how skittish them deer are, and you want to get that thing on camera, you can watch the video on there. Those deer are in there for 30 minutes, 28 minutes, them deer in there. I think it's about 28 minutes before I can take that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Six bucks, four does, and there, this guy behind me was cutting trees, and they're jumping and skidding, and they're pushing each other and sparring a little bit, trying to eat and stuff, and the acorns is huge, and I draw, I bet you, five times, and could not, and they would go behind a tree, I had to let back down, move the camera. You got to think, that's a lot of movement with all those eyes around you. I mean,
yes.
I'm like, man, I hope I don't get busted. So I'm right. thinking, if I don't shoot this dick, I'm going to miss a good buck, but I want to get on camera so I can let people see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he walked, and I said, he's going to come back around that tree, and I draw, and I look. And you got to constantly look in the camera, look. And as soon as I got ready to hit that release at 38 yards, and I put it right on his heart, and I mean, I stroked. I mean, it, he was dead, and I always time how long it takes because it's about shot placement.
Right.
32 seconds, he was done. 32 seconds.
Well, you put it
and,
in.
Boy, that was.
You put it in the baller room, you know. That,
yes,
that
sir.
That's
what
that
on money. And that coolest thing about that, though, because that property butts, it's only 2 acres. It butts up the, like, across this water. So WMA property, like 8,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And they swim across the water. And I go down there. He's laid up against the fence. Just dark, but I can still see. And I grab his antlers, and I go to drag, and I hear, I look up, and all I saw was pines. I'm thinking, that's a big buck. And I look, he was about 28 yards, and I'm like, you got to be. I couldn't believe my eyes, and that buck has got to be pushing in the 180s. Biggest deer, he's the biggest I've ever seen.
Wow.
Never saw him. I got him on camera, but I put a camera out where I saw him walk. 3 days later, he walked back across there at 3:43 in the afternoon, and he is a absolute giant.
Jesus.
Potential state record, if you ask me. I'll have to send you that picture because it will blow your mind.
Send it to me, and I'll repost it because I want to see it. A lot of people don't understand it, and I think I was talking to you, and I was talking to somebody else down in the Lowcountry in Charleston area, South Carolina. It is very underrated, the size of deer that are, especially in upstate mm-hmm. South Carolina. Like, you know, of course, everybody talks about Iowa and Kansas, Texas, you know, all that stuff. We got some nice giants in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. I honestly believe the next state record is going to come out of Anderson County because this last 2 years, you had the two biggest kills come out of a little place called Broadway Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them bucks in the 170s. Okay, over to where Dabo was killed, a guy down the road. He killed that with 159 and three quarters. A boy down the street killed one that scored 170 on the dot. Jesus. A boy in Belton killed one that was 171. The state record's only one with a bow is 173, and I think with a gun is 178.
Mm-hmm.
And a boy got one, another one in Anderson County pushing 175. And the DNR guy told me, because they, when the season's over, they do this where they go out and check deer and stuff.
Right.
And he said on this side of 80 side, northbound, mm-hmm. he's got the biggest bucks on the other side. And he's right. Every buck that size has came from the north side. Every one of them. And they all came from a small patch of woods. Every one of them. It's a buck right now, I can tell you right now, not including what I see. If you're going up 85, mm-hmm. right before you get to Liberty Highway off the right of the road, it's a buck that beds there every year. He stays there every year before the rut starts. Rut start, he's gone. But I've seen that buck every year for 4 years. And he's a giant, but you can't hunt. You go park right down the interstate, as soon as you guys are going to leave, and when he walks off, you're not going to see him. But I parked and walked to the edge and seen him
mm-hmm.
before the season started in Velvet. Come see what come that rut. I don't know where that deer go. I don't know who property is, but it's unbelievable the size of that buck. I would love to stick him, but to get one that size,
yeah,
somebody's going to do it, and somebody's going to do it with a gun or something. But, you know, if you get one with a bow, if I ain't mistaken, if you can break the state record with a bow, they said it'll net you about $100,000.
Really?
And that's a walking lottery ticket. Now, if I can stick me one that can bust that state record, you won't better tell me nothing. I'll probably drive around with him for a week naked.
That kind of stuff puts you on the map, because even old boy yeah. in Tennessee, Tucker Steven, mm-hmm. when he killed that state record deer, Tennessee, the Tucker buck, and he killed that with a muzzleloader. I talked to him. He was at the GON show the year after he took that buck, and I talked to him, and I follow him on social media as well. And I mean, he is blown up. I mean, he's a real nice guy, down home guy, you know, like yourself. But once he took that deer put him on the map and shot him.
Yes, it did.
Straight up, you know,
that is a monster buck too, man.
Yeah. And, you know, people always want to be like, you know, oh, that was in pen and all this other foolishness.
Yeah, they want to hate. You're going to have the haters out there.
I've seen that deer up close. That is a bad boy. And then the thing, too, with your deer, the one that you shot on camera, that raised your profile a little bit, right? You got something going on.
Yeah.
You're going to start filming. Did you start filming this season or next season?
Well, this season here, all my footage will be going to Full Draw Adventures. Yeah, that'll be airing the following season. Yeah, because everything I get now is will be going to them. There was a guy, he saw one of my videos on a hunting site and contacted me. I thought it was, you know, I said, hey, whatever, you know, so I didn't really respond at first. He's like, hey, let's get together. I'm like, yeah, okay. And he did it again. I'm like, all right, let me call this guy back. Because he said, man, look. He said, you know, you kind of guy I'm looking for, because I can tell you love it. And I said, man, if you serious, I'm all in. I said, because I said, you know, everybody want to have their own hunting show. Everybody want to be on hunting shows.
Right.
And I said, I'm a different kind of hunter when it comes to hunt. I can stalk a deer. I'm going to respect the deer. I'm not going to take a crazy shot and injure a deer and it goes off somewhere.
Right.
I believe in respecting the animal, you know. But I know a lot of guys say, hey, I'm a bow hunter. But as soon as bow season over, they got that rifle on their back going through the woods. I know a guy that, you know, shot a buck with his rifle. Then he took his bow out the truck, tried to put the arrow right through the same hole so he can tell everybody shot with his bow. You know. He owned up to it. And I told him, I said, you shouldn't even hunt no more. You know, he's been hunting for 4 years with a bow and never took one.
Mm-hmm.
And he never will, because he's too busy moving in the trees, taking pictures and with his selfie stick.
I was about to say,
is that
a guy that you told me about that had the selfie stick that was in?
It was actually his cousin from Virginia. They went, let me tell you what they done. They went and they posted on Facebook they was heading to an outfitter.
Okay.
And they was inside of the cabin. They was inside of the cabin taking pictures and all this and rubbing the man's dogs and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go in the woods smelling like dogs. Like, y'all really ain't kill nothing. They get out there, dude, and some guy said, how much is y'all paying? I think it was like $2,800. And what he didn't know was, you got to shoot this deer here for that kind of price. You can't shoot this buck here. And you want to pay $2,800? They go, nah, this deer is like a $6,000 deer.
Yeah.
You know, this is a 170 class deer. And they didn't kill anything, but they posted on the pictures. And I call them selfie hunters. You know, I call them selfie hunters. I said, you know, you guys right there, you know, go to the site. If you see 20 selfies, you're not going to see, but maybe one harvest or no harvest, you know.
Right.
And then the idiot, he posted a picture of the day that, yeah, this is a doe. And you know, she made the mistake of walking out and shot her with my gun. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you said that deer weighed 120 pounds. You know, and I know, and everybody that's listening knows, 120 pound doe, you're going to be lucky to get you about 50 pounds of meat.
Right.
This dude had meat all like, he had probably 20 rolls of sausage. He had summer sausage. He had steaks in these big bags. And some dude said, well, damn, what that thing weigh, 1,000 pounds? It looked like he had three deer there. No, this is one deer. And they called him out on it. Deleted. You know, he just don't know, man. You know? Yeah. Hell, he goes out. I let him go to one of my spots. He takes pictures out there with his trail camera out there. I'm going to post them on my Instagram. If he sees them, I don't even care. I tell him, sit in this tree. Deer going to come by at 5:30. Mm. He's posting pictures on Facebook with his trail camera out there taking pictures on the beach. And you got to think, this is opening day. Hell, he's got his black rat. He's got his grunt call, a machete, a surface stick. He's got a backpack. And then he sends me a text on what appears a deer swimming across the water. I said, hell, they know you're there. And then... Then he tells me this. And I said, man, I cannot believe it. I said, look, you're not going right in my spot. He went the next morning. Now, he lives in Greenwood. He drives all over the other side of Greenwood to hunt this place.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, man, look, it's like this. When you hunt in public land, these guys get together before the season and go, all right, look, guys, we're going to meet at such and such time to go in so you don't spook nobody.
Right.
This
right.
cat goes up there and goes in right at daybreak, puts a ground blind up, and he's 20 yards from a guy. Him and the guy get into it. He ended up messing up 10 guys hunt. He's out there taking pictures with the flash on. And those guys jump him. He posted it on Facebook. I'm like, dude, you running deer off 200 yards away. And those guys dogged him out, dude. They lit into him. And he just don't know, but, you know, he's a selfie hunter. You know, that's all he's out there for. He's out there to for, oh, man, good luck. Yeah, man, good, yeah, I'm going to get one, blah, 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 blah. Smash for some meat. Well, I let so-and-so walk. And you tell me this. He posted on Facebook one day. This is no lie. He takes a picture. Then he takes a picture of a doe he said he let walk. Next morning, he leaves and drives to Virginia to hunt at his cousin's house. It was during Thanksgiving. And goes up there and hunts. You know, Virginia got some big deer.
Yeah, yeah.
And posts a picture of a doe that he shot. And I asked him, I said, now, I said, let me ask you a question. You had a doe walk in South Carolina, you could have got you some meat. You go to Virginia that's got some big bucks, and you shoot a doe. That don't make no damn sense to me.
Hey, man, he didn't want to come home empty. He left empty. He left home empty. You go on the road and you put gas and lodging and all that other stuff, man. You don't want to come home empty. You can't be selective.
But see, the only problem is he took a picture of that doe with a gun laid beside it. So we don't know if it was his doe, his cousin's doe, or the other two guys' doe, because he's yet to take a picture and post of him and an animal. He said he killed 5 this year. All right, show some pictures. But he never posted any pictures.
Man,
he's a selfie hunter.
Everything ain't for everybody, bro. You know that. Everything ain't for everybody. You know, you go out there you feel good in the woods and you got your sunlight and the sun setting and
right. Nothing like it, man.
And you taking, you know, pictures and stuff. And then when you take, you know, you actually get a chance at a deer and you take a deer out, you don't want to take a picture of the deer. No, don't do that. Because
this is no lie.
Everybody want, you know, well, when can I get some meat? And you got some sausage and you got some straps. Mm-mm, no, y'all eat on these selfie pictures. That's what he's saying. He's saying
I just can't do it.
Y'all eat on these.
I had a lady contact me and was like, hey, we'd like to sign you and you know, get you some hunting stuff and blah, blah, blah. And she said, I just need you to do one thing. Mm-hmm. I said, what's that? And I had told her about the full draw thing. She said, I need you to start taking some selfies. And I said, well, that's why I draw the line. She said, what do you mean? I said, I am not going to bust my ass all season and then go and climb that tree and take the time to take my phone out and take a selfie and post that thing. I got to type stuff out and comment to somebody and look up at this big ass book sitting there. I ain't gonna do it.
You do
she
that
goes,
after.
Well, that's what you know.
You ain't got to do
you know,
it.
She's
you
like,
know.
Well, I can't do it. That one time I pulled my phone out, I had that big buck looking at me. I said, never again. And I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. And she's like, okay. She didn't call me back, but I just can't do it.
Yeah. No,
I just cannot. Oh.
It's funny
know.
How some people fall like on different sides of the line. If I'm in a ground blind or whatever with my son, most of the time, anyway, if I'm in a ground blind with my son, you know, we just getting out of the house, getting in, trying to get him into it or whatever. So, you know, we might take a picture in a ground blind or whatever and just relax. If I'm in a tree before I get down or whatever, I may take one, you know, just so I can put on the social media. Because, you know, with the media brand, you just got to have the content and stuff. But otherwise, when you're sitting there and you hear something coming or whatever, or you're trying to get it done, then yeah, you got to focus. It takes a level of focus. I don't think you have to be like diehard. Well, no, let me take that back. It's nothing wrong if you're a diehard and you're just like, okay, this is what I'm here for or whatever. But if you want to also go out there and have fun, then go out there and have fun. But just realize that, hey, that 140, that 160 deer that you see everybody posted, that might not happen to you because you on Snapchat, Instagram, or whatever. I mean, it's,
oh yeah,
you know, it's two sides to it. As long as you have fun and you out there.
The way that deer eyes, the way it's shaped on his head, and the way, and if they're down eating, and the way their eyes are, and you moving around, and if they just, you know how deer are, they can just catch you. They can sense when you're there anyway.
Yep.
And you know, they will pick you off for anything.
Yeah.
And see, one thing I learned about, I let the deer train me. That's why I love being in the woods year round. I was sitting on the edge of this field one day, and this is after the season. You got to think now. I still spray down and stuff, and I'm sitting there, and I literally sit there. Just 2 hours go by, and I see about 12 doe come in, and them suckers are coming up, and I got one within about 10 yards, and she's looking right at me, and I'm not moving. I mean, you sit there, and you can't even blink your eyes, and she's looking, and she looked at me, and she looked to the right, she looked right at me, and she flicked her right ear.
Mm-hmm.
This doe to her right went around to the backside of it and stood right behind the tree facing me looking at her. She stomped again. Flicked the left ear. Other deer went the other way. I mean, they were surrounding me. And she done that 3 times. Now, she was the big dog.
Right.
And I waited them out, and I sit there, and she stomped. She turned, went to walk off. She stomped and looked back. She knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
Then the other ones came back. Now, what that told me was, okay, when she was coming across that field, she was looking right at me the whole time.
Yep.
I mean, that field was maybe 60 yards wide. The reason why she was looking at me the whole time, because I know for a fact, when they was in the other side of the woods out there, when the little ones came out to feed, the yearlings and stuff would just bounce around and running because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up, and I was moving my head, you know, trying to look on the little ridge, and I looked to the right and left, and I didn't see her. I saw them. And then when she come out, she made a beeline straight at me. And when I saw her, I stayed still. So the whole time I was watching them move my head, she saw me and come over there to check it out. And then when I stayed still, she couldn't find me. Because, you know, they blinds are bad as long as you stay still.
Right. The least little bit of movement.
Exactly. So you imagine you out there hunting and a deer across the woods, you don't see him. You got to get your phone out and stuff. And you got to do this and do that. And she go, well, hell, that's him there. So they're hunting again. Hey, Louise, look. He ain't going to kill nothing. Let's go the other way. I rest my case.
Yeah, I have one in the stand that I was hunting early in September. I sat there and I watched them for about 10, 15 minutes. I had my bow in my hand already because I heard them coming long before they actually popped into the clearing in the woods. And I sat there and I watched her. I watched her. I was like, okay, finally, she was quartered away and dropped down to feed or whatever. And it's like, okay. Now, I think I'm pulling, like, you know, the smoothest cycle. Like, I'm thinking my stuff's like butter. I'm about to pull this. We're going to get this done. Man, I got halfway through my draw cycle. She took off. She was like, bump this.
Now, imagine trying to do that in self-film.
Right. That's why.
Because it is so
that's
hard,
why my heart, my hat's off to people that self-film. Now, in a ground blind, that's a little bit different. Now, in a ground blind, you know, you got concealed and you got a little bit more room for a little bit movement, but it's not as much as people try to say. Like, people are like, well, in a ground blind, you can get away with a lot more. Yes, you can get away with a lot more compared to sitting in the tree. But either way, if you still fumbling and trying to cut the camera on and you doing dramatic swings and pans and stuff like that,
saw those guys with those cameramen on there all the time, because it's hard.
Yep.
That's why I respect those guys on Dominant Bucks, man, because you watch that show, them guys get it done.
Yeah.
You know, they go in there and they taking those big cameras and they get it done. The way I train myself is, I don't know if it'll help people out or not, but I always gonna pop me at least 1 or 2 hours off no matter what time of day is. But when it come down, I'm constantly shooting, make sure my bow is on. But when I know I got 2 months before the season start, in the mornings I wake up and I do some push-ups and I just get my heart rate up, jump rope, run down the road and back. You know, have my bow waiting on me and stuff with my targets. Right at daylight when you know that big buck's coming, get your heart rate up.
Right.
And then grab your bow and shoot.
Yep.
You tend to hustle and puffing because you know when you draw, you got to stop and sell that pin, and that will help you out on buck fever more than anything.
Yep.
Afternoon, if you know you're going to hunt a buck in the afternoon, man, pump out some push-ups, get that heart rate going. I'm talking about just breathe as hard as you can and go and shoot. You do that about 10 times, you still going to get nervous, but it will help you to not get busted, and it'll help you sell that pin a lot better. And some people just can't, you know, just lose it, you know, just fall apart. But I've been doing it so long, my heart rate gets up, but I'm a firm believer. The more your heart beat, the more you can kind of lose it. Them deer can sense that, and they know something's up.
Yeah.
When they come in now, you know, when I watch my cameras and know the deer is showing up at 5, so I make sure I get all my cameras and stuff turned on 10 minutes before I know they're coming.
Yep.
Either 15 minutes, you know, try to get everything on and ready so I don't have to make a lot of movement. But everybody asks me the one question, man. How do you? I get a lot because I try my best to make it as least as painful as possible for that animal to take them as quick as possible. And the quickest way to take a deer is in the heart. You can double line them, but they go run 100. Some of them go 150 yards. If that's the only shot you got, you just got to take it.
Right.
If you hit them in the heart, they dead from 32 to 40 seconds. Now, and everybody's like, well, how do you know what you're putting it all the time? I said, well, I'll tell you right now. I practice when I draw. I don't care if it's an 80-yard shot, 20-yard shot. I don't care how long it is. If you draw and you aim right at that front hoof and work your way up that leg, and when you get to that shoulder, you hit that trigger, it's going to hit that heart every time. Every single time, you're not going to miss the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got buddies that like to draw and come and work their way down and go double long or just aim at the deer and just draw. But, I mean, I used to do that. You used to just aim at the deer and draw.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Forget tracking a deer 200 yards when you just pick the bone.
Right.
And I ain't got to drag them that far. So I said, well, if you want them to drop a whole lot quicker, you get that heart. And my log is no line in the last 2 years. I haven't drug a deer over in longer than 50 yards. Because, I mean, I can hear him going down, and then I can have him on camera going down. But that's the way I practice. It may not work for everybody else, but that's just the way I practice. Now, the only bad thing about that is, because I call it pinning the shoulders, is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, when that arrow go in there, man, when he bucks and tries to run, if that arrow is not all the way through him, it don't take but a split second. That part going to break, that fletching falls. The other part's going to go through him, but you're going to lose a lot of arrows. They're going to break some arrows.
Right.
Especially if it's a big old strong buck. Yeah, as soon as he goes, because you got to think that arrow's going to pin his shoulders, he's going to break it.
Yeah, because if you don't get that pin, if you don't get that deep penetration, then it's a wrap. The other thing, too, that I like, you know, a lot of people like to go and they like to shoot like a lot of arrows and stuff like that. And I understand that for like getting the sight in and shooting groups and stuff. But when I practice, that first arrow, that's the first one. Because in real life, that's the only one you get unless you hit them somewhere and you got to follow them up. But when you practice, you know, you want that first shot. Ain't no warm-up shots. You don't get no warm-up shots in the woods. Like, when
you,
they
take
come
the
through,
you take the...
You got
take the average bow hunter. You can ask any bow hunter, how many arrows do you pop off? Now, I can tell you how many I practice and shoot because I keep my chart.
Mm-hmm.
I shot 6 arrows a day. I shot 20 arrows a day. You take the average bow hunter, 1 year I shot 1,000 times, you know, 1,200 times. But I only shot 8 times that year on 8 animals. So you take I got a buddy right now, practice all the time, has yet to shoot a deer because that's why I tell you, you putting the time in, but you hunting in the wrong spot because you ain't getting to shoot no deer. And he's getting aggravated. He's like, man, I just, all that practicing. So you putting all that time in, you better make sure you're in a good spot. I said, you got to deal with your property. He had like 100 acres. I said, do you want me to help you? Yeah, man, please come help me. So I go over to his house. We get on the side by side. We ride down there. He said, there's my stand right there. And I just look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull my phone and I just look right at him. I said, you've been hunting for what, 4 years? Yeah, yeah. He said, I just want to be just a bow hunter. I said, well, what gets me is are you sitting in that tree right there. I said, why'd you pick that tree? Well, I saw a deer that one day. If I can tell you right now, you ain't going to never kill a deer sitting right there. He said, why is that? I said, because, one, there ain't no food where you're sitting.
Right.
Your creek is way down there about 300 yards. I said, your pinch point is over there. What's a pinch point?
Yeah.
I said, let's ride down there. Dude, we go down there. It's rubs, it's scrapes, and it's trails. He said, I ain't never hunted down here. I said, this is where your deer is.
Right.
I said, dude, when you get hungry, what do? You go to the refrigerator? Yeah. I said, all right then. Just pretend this is the refrigerator.
Right.
I said, ain't this, you sitting up there at the playground somewhere. And I said, you kill something, you know? And I'm like, he didn't know.
Yeah.
And I knew, I'm thinking, damn, how can he not kill nothing? Because all those deer got on his property. But now he understands that this year he's going to set up. I'm going to have him set it up.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, look, this guy didn't know. He'd been watching TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He don't understand the communication of a deer, the rub, the grunts. And I said, have you ever heard a deer in the woods grunting? No. I said, dude, you don't know what you're missing. So there's different grunts for communication, like me and you talking. You got to understand what this grunt means, what that grunt means. And if that grunt, you can hear it and go, oh, that's just a small buck. And you can hear that deep grunt. You know, you better be ready. I said, this tree here's got this rub over here. That tell you which way he's going.
Right.
Oh, really? I said, yeah. I said, that way you can put it all together. I said, it's a puzzle.
Right.
Put it together.
Yep. You know? Take it, put it in your time.
A lot of guys don't know that.
Put in your time. And do your homework.
And to me.
Yep.
Yep. And to me, if you do that, you put your time in and you take it. You beat him at his own game. You beat that buck at his own game. You went in his house and you put that puzzle together and you beat him. That's the hunt right there.
Right.
Now you're a hunter.
Yep.
I mean, you actually beat him at his own game because it's hard to go in that house and win. And to me, man, I even look at it like this. There's a lot of times I go out there and I let them walk and don't do anything. And I come out and I go, I won. I didn't get busted.
Right.
They didn't know
he
I was
didn't
there.
Know you was there.
I won. Exactly. Yeah. And it's I won.
And it's a road game every time. There is no quote-unquote home field advantage because no matter how much time that you spend in the woods, obviously you're going to spend as much time as you can, but they're there every day, 24/7, 365.
And they know you there.
Right. They know you. Right. You know when somebody, if you're at home, you know when somebody come in your house.
Exactly. You're going to get home and go, damn, somebody been up in my crib.
Yeah.
But see, it goes back to being still and being disciplined and sitting there and being able to let that deer walk and let that doe walk or whatever you want to do. I like to get my meat early in the season so I can and hunt that rut hard.
Yep.
And then you let them young bucks go through and walk, and then you come down the leaf. I have been in my stand and deer all around. I got on my Instagram where it's like 6 or 7 bucks right up under my stand. They're just all around me. Right at dark, I'm like, all right, once it gets dark, I'll come down and I'll ease my bow down. And they'll be out there still eating. And I'll come down as slow and quiet as possible.
Right.
I just wait. They may walk off real slow. They're not spooked. They like, well, something ain't right. They're going to walk off. They're going to turn and watch. And they're going to see you come down and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't shoot at them. You didn't spook them. And I will leave. And my camera will go off 5 minutes. They right back in there.
Yep.
I won. What no? What the hell?
Yep. You know? Stomping and blowing. No.
All that stomping and blowing. Yeah, I won.
Yep.
And that's the hunt, man. You learn. You're going to learn something every time you go in the woods. You're going to learn something. I don't care if it's from a squirrel. You're going to learn something from those animals. Those animals are going to teach you everything you need to know. I learned from foxes. A fox will find your corn. If he don't want them deer touching, he's going to piss on that corn. And them deer will not touch that corn.
Right.
And that fox, he'll have it. I got him on camera. Piss all over it. I watch a deer go in and smell it and walk on. I'm thinking, well, I'll just be damned. Never knew that. Well, I sat there and witnessed it.
Yep.
I sat there and watched it happen. I'm like, holy shit. That fox just, you're not going to get this corn. I'm going to piss on it. Now, think about that. That's like you eating a burger. You don't want to buy the half. You go, well, y'all won't eat this. Watch this. Pee on it.
Yep.
Shit, and then go.
And then go on about your business. That is terrible.
That blew my mind.
Oh, my God. I appreciate you doing this. Tell people where to find you on Instagram and then what the other thing you got going on.
Stick and Drag Bow Hunting. Find on Instagram. Facebook page, the same thing. Stick and Drag Bow Hunting. I keep my cameras running, getting videos. And I'll post some videos and stuff. You know, if you're going to get good videos, you can download straight to your phone. Use the Browning camera. They're good at it. Get ready for the season. Get all my footage. Going to be sending it off to those guys. And I hope y'all can get to see me on some shows soon because it's coming. It's been hard work, but it's going to pay off, man. It's amazing that if you put your time in, do your grunt work, get you some good footage, they'll come find you.
Yeah,
you know, that's all it takes. Post some good stuff. They'll come find you. And you know how it is. Companies want to sell stuff. The hunting shows have done the husband and wife for years. They've done everything, so they just want to do something different. I mean, if you love it like I love it, make something out of it. That's what you got to do. You know, this season right here was a tough season. Having a newborn, trying to hunt, you know, be there for her. And, you know, she's a gym rat, and she goes to gym every morning at 4:30, and she'll say, text me, go, I'm on the way home. I said, well, good. It's a deer going to be coming through at 7, so I got to get in. I'm going to try to leave. And so that was hard juggling that, you know.
Right.
So he'll be older this year. It'll be a little bit easier on me, and I just can't wait, man. I just got a feeling it's going to be a good season. Picked up 2 new spots, got some studs. I got a feeling I can stick 3 over 1 in the 150 class. If I do that, y'all better tell me nothing.
I was about to say, you do that. As the old people say in church, you somebody.
You do that in one season, I'm going to be knocking on Lee Koska's door. Hey, Lee, what's up, buddy? What's up, buddy?
Once again, I really like to thank Ken for taking the time, coming on, talking to me on the Bryantland Country Podcast. Ken is a diehard bow hunter who gets it done. If you check out his Instagram, his pictures back it up. Ken gets it done out there. He gets out there. He goes hard after those deer. And just remember, if you're ever hunting with Ken, don't take any selfies. Don't take any pictures. The man's out there for only one thing, one thing only, and that's to bring deer on the ground. Oh, man. Ken's a great one, though. I've enjoyed talking to him. We're going to get him back on probably later on down the road, get him back on the podcast because we got, you know, other topics and stuff that we can talk about. Me and Ken can get on the phone and talk for a while, which that says a lot about somebody that I've never met in person because I'm not a big phone guy. But you get me on here talking about this hunting and talking about video and all that kind of stuff. And, man, me and Ken, we can go at it for a little bit. Plus the natural, you know, hatred for South Carolina and Clemson going back and forth, man. We can go back and forth for a little bit. Thank you again. Thanks for powering through. You know, you can read all the guides, read all the books, talk to people, but until you actually get down, so we're going to bring nothing but great, great quality podcast out there to you. In the meantime, when you're on iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. Give us a nice review.
send us an email at ab3bryantland@gmail.com. If you got any questions, if you got any suggestions for the show, maybe somebody that you want us to talk to, somebody that has a great story, you know, send that email over to us, ab3bryantland@gmail.com. Check us out on Google Play. Check us out on iTunes. You know, we're on the Podbean app. Podbean, the host for the Bryantland Country Podcast. So you can check us out on the Podbean app. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't ever miss the episode. You know, we're going to be churning these things out weekly. We got some great guests and some great ideas lined up, and we're going to bring them out here to y'all. So you make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. Make sure you're following us on Instagram. At Official Bryantland, at 3Bryantland on the Twitter, and we're still on Facebook, Bryantland, and then of course our website, bryantlandcountry.com. Make sure you go check out the shop, get you some Bryantland merch, represent the brand. We always appreciate it. We just thank y'all for supporting everything that we do. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for supporting the brand. We're going to get on out of here, and we're going to come on back, and y'all come on back with us and check out another episode of the Bryantland Country Podcast. All right?
Thanks for listening to the Bryantland Country Podcast, hosted by AB3. Please leave us a positive review and 5-star rating on iTunes. Be sure to check out our podcast section on our website, bryantlandcountry.com, for previous podcasts. Check us out on Instagram at Official Bryantland and Twitter at 3Bryantland. This has been an AB3 media production. Join us next time for another edition of the Bryantland Country Podcast.